We've ended our series on Hebrews, and we have a couple of weeks yet till Advent. So this Sunday, we're doing one of the Psalms, Psalm 126. Listen for the word of God. Psalm 126, a song of ascents. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. And we rejoiced. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses in the Negev. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This psalm is one of the classic readings for Thanksgiving, for harvest time in the church. It's got that thankful opening celebration of the great things that God has done. Maybe it's a psalm of one of the kings whose reign had unexpectedly prospered after depression and decline. Or maybe it's from even later, how God restored the fortunes of Israel after the exiles returned from Babylon to their old home, their old fields. Something so great it seemed like dreaming, unbelievable, even to the people living through it. And this psalm has that warm harvest conclusion, the promise of bringing in sheaves of joy, though seeds were sown in sorrow. It's all so perfect for Thanksgiving, so perfect for harvest, that if you read fast, you can almost miss the one verse that undercuts the whole thing. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses in the Negev, like streams in the desert. The psalmist is not feeling well watered. It's not really a song of joyful people. It's a song of people who remember being joyful once and hope to be joyful again, who felt like they were dreaming and now feel very much awake. This is not a psalm written by people who are holding the joyful sheaves, although they certainly had held those sheaves once. This is a song of people who are still sowing their fields with tears. And though they have the memory of great things past and the promised harvest to come, memory and promise, those two things don't quite meet together happily in the middle, here and now. This week, as I passed shaved fields with prickles sticking out of the snow, I found myself thinking something that hadn't really occurred to me. Isn't the Thanksgiving holiday a little late for a harvest festival? It's after the first frost usually hits, even after the snow is often already on the ground, especially in other parts of the country. It's when the nights are getting longer and sunsets push back before 5 o'clock, and is preparing for an assault on 4:30. So I looked at charts of crop harvesting times to see if there was some answer there, and I found, yeah, some crops are harvested into late November, but a lot of the big ones were stored away months ago. And it turns out a lot of other nations and cultures celebrated their harvest quite a while ago, too. The British have traditionally celebrated their harvest with the first fruits of wheat in August. The Germans celebrated Harvest Home either at the fall equinox in September or the first Sunday of October. Canadian Thanksgiving is in October, more than a month ago. We have a late Thanksgiving. So I thought, well, maybe it's the Pilgrims thing, you know. Maybe it's when that happened. Because we speak of that first Thanksgiving as a time when the Pilgrims of Plymouth celebrated their first harvest after a winter of penury and hunger and a spring of little but hope. The bringing in the sheaves after tears and waiting. So I looked it up. Turns out that probably happened back in September. They're not exactly sure on the date, but even if it was later, no one at Plymouth stood and said, "Let us remember this day in a yearly celebration, the fourth Thursday of November." It was just a story of a great celebration that one year. It's a story of giving thanks that's built into this country, but that's not why we celebrate Thanksgiving now. There really wasn't a big official yearly one for a long time. George Washington, one year, proclaimed one in November, a day of Thanksgiving. But then another year, he had one in February, so that throws everything off. Thomas Jefferson, so keen about the separation of church and state, didn't have any Thanksgivings at all. And James Madison, president, the next, really only had a day of Thanksgiving to celebrate the end of the War of 1812. There were little local harvest festivals. The Germans had their one, the New England maybe had theirs. Or there was a national one where never a president or enough Congress people got a fancy. But regular Thanksgiving at the end of November? Turns out it's younger than the walls of Penningtonville Presbyterian Church. You see, that came in 1863, the middle of the Civil War. It was the year that saw Gettysburg sow the ground with blood. When the national mood was the weeping of new widows and the longings of people parted from family, the grimness of combat settled in after a second year with an end still yet to come. Newly empty tables and a divided country. And so the order came down from Lincoln himself for a time of Thanksgiving, end of November, not giving thanks for the war, certainly not, but for all that persisted in spite of it, that somehow in the midst of that American apocalypse, the rains kept falling. And the new wheat still sprang from the ground. "Give thanks for that," Lincoln said. "And please," he said, "pray for the people who are new widows and orphans, people with wounds in this season. Pray for healing, for an end to war, for peace." There were many little Thanksgivings before that. But that's the real first Thanksgiving, like we celebrate it. Hardship and harvest together. I think the Pilgrims and Squanto story is the one that stuck because it's more of a happy ending, because it's easier to have a warm, friendly pageant about with cute costumes. You don't want your first graders going up on stage with in little, you know, Civil War widow costumes saying, "We all miss people a lot." But I think it's easy with the Pilgrims and Squanto happy ending story to think that Thanksgiving is just for people who've come through their hardships unscathed, to act like it's a time to either celebrate that everything's fine or maybe just pretend that everything is fine. But that's never what giving thanks was about. For all the shakiness in the present tense in Psalm 126. For all the ways the author does not seem to be enjoying their current life, a life described in terms of tears and desert and fortunes that need to be restored, for all that, the psalm still dedicates half its length to thanksgiving. The Lord has done great things for us. And that means that the psalmist is unafraid to speak their deep need, the things that are wrong. They know God gives good things because they remember, and giving thanks for even things that are past connects them to the goodness of the God who gave those things. The Lord has done great things for us. And so that thanksgiving is where the psalmist builds hope. For even in loss and thirst, they have not forgotten goodness. They have tasted it once, and so they know it can be tasted, and they know God gives it, and so they trust that their pleas will be answered, that their sorrows will be turned to rejoicing, the labor of planting to joyful harvest. One way or another, they shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. Celebrating the harvest is not just about settling in. Celebrating the harvest prepares for the days when we must plant in bald, bare fields, for we do not harvest all crops in the same season. Thanksgiving is still marked by harvest and hardship alike. We see neighbors who need assistance, and sometimes we ourselves need assistance. We have our longings, pains, and losses, often felt now more than ever, the ways we perhaps are not as joyful as we wish to be. Nevertheless, give thanks. Give thanks for what you have, however little it may be, even if it's just for a little bit of shallow breathing. Give thanks for the joys you once had, because they have shown you what joy can be, and they are tastes of the joy yet in store. And give thanks for the hope set before you, the promises of God, even if you cannot taste them at all, even if you are only sowing and weeping. Now, as the nights grow longer and the air colder, is a perfect time. We have gone out laboring in many fields for many crops. We have our different pangs and tears. But we shall all come home with shouts of joy, carrying the sheaves of our harvest. Amen.